We returned to an old favorite last week as 11 teams flexed their way to scoring at least 95% in the Kamigawa run. Hey, Pippenheimer.
Nerd.
Blow it up, brother.
From Studio 1A at the worldwide headquarters of Echo Blade Studio. Only weekly podcast focusing on the mobile game Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest MTG PodQuest, the world's top players, the world's top teams. Ladies and gentlemen, Nerd Thuggery.
Broadcasting from our studios in Florida to over 1,000 listeners in over 40 countries on 5 continents. What's up, gods and groggers? Welcome to MTG PodQuest, the world's only podcast covering news and events surrounding the mobile game Magic the Gathering Puzzle Quest. Mi nome es Nerd Thuggery. That's right, 11 teams rocked that 95% threshold last week with a familiar standard event, the Kamigawa Run. The objectives for that event seem simple enough, but there's a balance in PvP coalition events. The easier the objectives, the harder the opponent's decks you're going to face. We'll look at the landscape regarding the longest current streaks of perfection. I'll mention a couple chase cards in the new set, Murders at Karloff Manor, that you should definitely check out, including one that should be available right now in the vault in a bundle. And I'll also issue a caution on one incredible chase card, and I'll explain why. And finally, we will break down last week's performance of my home coalition, the Gods of Theros. Okay, what's first, Pipes?
Global team results.
It's nice to come back to good old standard PvP, eh? Kamigawa Run gave us some good matches against some very good decks. But in the end, Team Reckless won for the second week in a row with 17 perfect scores, edging out You Have One Job and the Gods of Theros by 11 and 14 points, respectively. Once again, 11 teams eclipsed that 95% threshold. Let's read that lineup. It's the usual suspects. In order, Team Reckless, You Have One Job,
the Gods of Theros,
Goblin Pile,
Blue Lotus,
Teferi,
MTG Goldfish,
Black Lotus,
Something Went Wrong,
Black Vice,
the Gods of Theros 2. Nice job, everybody. Next week's event is Rise of Adventure. We haven't done this one in a while. It's a legacy PvP, and one of the objectives for the top node is to have a full party. Also, this used to be an event where if you weren't careful, you could lose nodes if you didn't play them on time. That's been changed with the latest quality of life improvements introduced, page turn, by WebCore. You'll get all of the charges up front now. Thank you, WebCore, for putting us in control of our own weekends. I know that change was received with great applause. All right, Streaks of Perfection. After last week's red wedding of an event, only one streaker remains, flopping along with naked abandon. FC Led Zepp is at 28 straight perfect scores, having easily dispatched their competition in the Kamigawa Run. I'll have a more full accounting of who is behind FC Led Zepp. I'll give you a hint right now, it's about 3-4 months behind. I'll give a more full accounting next week when I get the full data. Okay, let's talk about a few chase cards from the newest set, Murders at Karloff Manor. It feels like it's been out a lot longer than 1 week. I'm first going to get this out of the way, though. Since it's an LCI card, Sunken Citadel is an amazing card, one of the best mana generators in Standard, I believe. But it has a soft lock problem when played with certain cards or certain planeswalkers. I've had it lock up in games while playing Dadferi with Ren and Realmbreaker, both with different card sets. This has happened several times. Prior to this, I've suffered 2 soft locks ever. WebCore is very aware of this. They are working hard on this. I have full faith they will figure this out and it will be patched ASAP. I've already advised my coalition mates to be wary of using this card in any coalition events until a patch has addressed its issues. So just use at your own risk. Okay, let's discuss a few cards in the new MKM set that I've found to be either really useful or really fun. And not all of them are mythics or masterpieces. Well, most of them, I guess, for this episode. And let's get this out of the way first. There are a few cards that are clearly remarkable and are a lot of fun, but they've been reviewed and talked about rather thoroughly, such as Knowledge is Power or Case of the Ransacked Lab. I'm going to leave those to the domain of the experts like Gazmaster, Main Loop, Nalthazar, who have great videos on many of these cards already out. So let's look at some that haven't been so talked about. Now, I know this isn't a visual medium, so it's hard to, you know, put up a splash of the card so that you can look at it while I'm talking about it. So I'll give a description. You can maybe write the cards down, remember them, just look them up at your leisure. Let's start with a split card, Hustle Bustle. It's a mythic spell, blue, red, green. Hustle costs only 5 and states, opposing creatures gain defender until the beginning of your next turn. And it has flash. Doesn't seem like much, but if both sides are stacked 3 deep with creatures and you have the numbers, you can clear them out. This is now a staple in my Brokan or my Ren and Realmbreaker decks that are heavy on large creatures. The flip side, Bustle, costs 14 to cast and reads, your creatures get +4/+4 and gain trample, gain 10 mana. So your net cost is 4. I may use this in conjunction with another Hustle card at the same time, but mostly I'm using that front side. All right, my next card is also a mythic. I mentioned it on last week's episode. It is Vein Ripper. This is a black creature, a vampire assassin, 6/5 with flight. It reads, when this creature becomes the target of a spell your opponent controls, destroy the last opposing creature. When a creature dies or loses a reinforcement, your opponent loses 6 life, and you gain 6 life. This effect can trigger up to 5 times per turn. Okay, that first trait is nice. It penalizes your opponent for targeting Vein Ripper, but the second ability is what I like. You know, when a creature dies or loses a reinforcement, they lose 6 life, you gain 6 life. It can trigger 5 times. You can pair this with Tainted Adversary, and as your zombie decays, you're leeching 6 life from your opponent every turn. Or if you're playing Legacy, pair it with Skeletal Swarming. That'll shorten the game up. I've done both, and it's very effective, and it's a lot of fun. Okay, my next card is a rare artifact support called Cryptex. It's colorless, it has 3 shields, it costs 10 to cast, and it reads, when you collect evidence, investigate. At the beginning of your turn, convert 5 gems to one of the colors of your greatest mana bonuses. When this support is destroyed or loses a reinforcement, draw a card. That is fat mana at a great cost. And it also feeds clue supports to any collecting of evidence you may have going on. But a colorless artifact that converts 5 gems each turn, it is now a staple in most of my standard decks. Okay, my next card is Connecting the Dots. It's a rare red support card that costs 12 to cast and has 4 shields. That's beefy. It reads, when a creature you control attacks, exile the first card from your library. At the beginning of your turn, return the first creature card from your exile into play under your control. If you can't, return the first support card from your exile to play under your control. I mean, come on. I'm a stick Galta or Atraxa or Cityscape Leveler in my deck and with a couple of small creatures with haste. And I don't know, like Gingerbrood, okay? Gingerbrood, because I think it's funny. Discard each huge creature I draw and just start dropping Godzillas into battlefield every time you play a gingerbread man. I mean, I picture a little gingerbread guy with pulling a giant dinosaur on a leash coming into the battlefield. I picture these things because I'm a nerd, okay? Sue me. All right, my very last card this week will be Trostani, 3 Whispers. This is a mythic creature. It is a 4/4 green-white dryad. It is also a legendary creature, and it costs 16 to cast. And it reads, activate 5 green or white. Your creatures gain Death Touch, Lifelink, and Double Strike until the end of the turn. Then, all your creatures get +2/+1. This essentially puts your creatures on hardcore offense while also providing lifelink for the turn. Lifelurk. I don't usually speak for other people, but I know Main Loop feels the same way I do. This card is a beast. I play it with Huatli, Radiant Champion, and I got banned by the International Olympic Committee for using steroids. That's how strong this card makes your creatures. And this card is actually available right now in the vault as a bundle. So if you don't want to wait to pull it from a booster, it's a mythic, go grab it from the vault right now. Okay, so to recap my MKM Chase cards from this week, Hustle Bustle, Vein Ripper, Cryptex, Connecting the Dots, and Trostani Three Whispers. Feel free to drop me feedback in the podcast channel on the Gods of Theros Discord server, or just at me on your native server. I'm probably on there. All right, a quick note about the free 6-hour standard booster. Laszlo brought this to my attention that he and some other players have noticed that they weren't pulling any cards from the new MKM set from these boosters. You probably noticed this too. WebCore has been made aware of this, and they are working hard to correct this. Also, as usual, I like to recommend some of the content creators making great videos about our game, MTGPQ. I always learn a lot watching the YouTube channels by Gazmaster, Nalthazar, Mainloop, and I'd like to point out another YouTube channel put together by a player named Paladin Robin. His channel is called Planeswalker Coach. His videos are usually only about 10 minutes long, and he does reviews, card combos, planeswalkers. He pretty much covers the whole scene, and a lot of his stuff is good for beginner and intermediate players. I'll have an interview with Paladin Robin in the next week or so. In the meantime, check out his channel. He already has about 90 videos posted. If you enjoy his stuff, subscribe to his channel as I did. Again, that channel is Planeswalker Coach. In fact, subscribe to all the content creators for MTGPQ. It doesn't cost anything, and it helps us all become more easy to find in the search engines. That would be Mainloop, Nalthazar, Gazmaster, Planeswalker Coach on YouTube, and this podcast on whichever platform you happen to be listening to me right now. Thank you very much, guys. And the last thing before we hit the Gods of Theros recap, one of my teammates, Prunus, had a great idea, and I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to have a special guest read his post. Ladies and gentlemen, a dramatic reading of Prunus' post by acclaimed thespian, Gobbles the Goblin.
Thank you, sir. There are certain things in life you will always remember, such as your first job, your first child being born, or your first intimate experience, perhaps not necessarily in that order. Onto that list, I will add my first MTGPQ Masterpiece card pull. It was early 2020, when the first Eldraine set was running hot. I was probably a silver player or early gold. Occasionally, I'd play against a player who had a card with an ornate border, and it was very scary. I'd ask myself, how the fuck do I get these? One day, I opened an Eldraine basic pack and BAM! I got a beautiful glowing masterpiece. Yes, thrilled I was, for a card was deemed a masterpiece, it must be OP. I couldn't wait to put the card in my deck and slay my lowly competition. The name of that card was Tectonic Reformation. And try as I might with my small collection of cards, I could not find a use for it. What the fuck was cycling? I had no cards with cycling. Apparently that was a mechanic from 3 or 4 sets before this, long before I started. Oh well, to this day, I still haven't mastered it. But I did find a use for the card. It is one of my go-to cards for reverse tactics. And scene.
Wow, thank you, Gobbles. Wow, those years of Shakespeare really helped.
Yeah, we spell Shakespeare a little different than you do.
Okay. Well, that was Puna's first masterpiece card pull. I'd like to hear about yours, and I'll share them on future podcasts.
Yeah, I'm always available.
What's that?
I said I'm always available.
All right, yeah, we'll see, okay? You can post the stories in the podcast channel of our Discord server for Gods of Theros, or just at me on your server. I'll see it. I already have a few submissions, so let's keep this going. Okay, let's close this out with a weekly report from my home coalition.
The Gods of Theros.
We had 5 in the top 25 for the Kamigawa run, which is always my goal for a healthy and happy coalition. But the gold team was in a zone, taking 3rd place in the world and only 38 points from a perfect score. The silver team also represented well by being one of only 11 teams in the world to reach 95% this week. And the Grogs of Theros have returned to the top 50 once again. Dodge has performed his analysis and submitted his report.
The Throne of Perfection.
It's 1-1 for Derek Rogers this week, continuing his streak of perfection at 11 on the Mountain of Supreme Badassery. Badass indeed. And don't quote me on this, but I think this might be a first for GOT. 7, count them, 7 gods with perfect streaks of 5 or more at the same time. The throne of perfection is buckling under the weight of masterful maestros Six Iron and Couch Clown, both with 9 straight perfect scores. Sepulka with 8 straight perfect scores, Sangwoo Lee with 6, and Imperial with 5. And newcomer and perennial grogger Last Exit with 5 straight. Seriously, Last Exit, it might be time to consider maybe joining the gold team? Well, I've been working on him. He's like, no, I'm good in 7. A satisfying squadron of 38 members of Gods of Theros ascended the coveted throne of Theros with perfect scores of 140 this week. Including Six Iron,
MC7,
Sangwoo Lee,
Trash Bear,
Couch Clown,
Kumashi,
Derek Rogers,
Not That Mad,
Imperial,
Dan Johan,
Sepulka,
Helios,
Raced Lynn,
Quillamane,
Wolf, 815,
Buffalo Dave,
Mork, 90,
Mo, 815,
Jay Truant,
Danny Crow,
Star 12,
Zernobog,
Bento Box,
Cave
Den.
Oh my god, puppies.
Cavatopi.
The poet Big Bill.
Cable Plays.
Razuishu.
V Drake.
Demosthenes.
Black Dragon.
Voodoo.
Gimarok.
Dodge U.
Last Exit.
Superfly.
Inuarath. A sensational syndicate of 19 members claimed the demigod status, scoring 95% or more. Including
Imagine,
Braxton,
Targriel,
G.G. Allen,
Kung Fu Chuck,
E-E-A-A-J-J,
Scald Strider,
Abner,
Nerd Thuggery,
Del Nardo,
Crimson King,
Vizdaloop,
The Kai Basito,
Everdi,
Adinako,
Boromac,
Seth Mar,
Six Iron Alt,
Lil Dej.
Another simply sufficient swarm of 52 avatars scored 75% or more. Great job, gods. All right, let's break down the team performance.
The gold team.
16 gods with perfect scores, 2 demigods at 95%, a team performance of 98. Top performers, we have 6 gods on top with 100 ratings, with Imperial joining Derek Rogers, Six Iron, Sepulka, Couch Clown, and Sangwoo Lee. That puts our gold team at 3rd place in the world this event. Player movement has Targriel and Shrike moving to the silver team.
The silver team.
8 gods with perfect scores, 2 demigods at 95%, a team performance of 95. Top performer, Kung Fu Chuck at 97, Mr. Snuggles and Voodoo at 96. That puts our silver team at 11th place in the world this event. Player movement this week has Kung Fu Chuck and Mr. Snuggles moving up to the gold team. Punis and Den Johan are moving to the bronze team.
The bronze team!
7 gods with perfect scores, 5 demigods at 95%, a team performance of 94. Top performers were Helios at 97, Tylernol and Nerd Thuggery at 94, and that puts the bronze team at 14th place in the world this event. Player movement has Nerd Thuggery and Quillamane moving up to the silver team. Big Ben and Elvis are moving to GOT4.
The Quads of Theros!
3 gods with perfect scores, 5 demigods at 95%, team performance of 86. Top performers are Protocon at 91, Vito and Kinden at 90. The Quads of Theros took 25th place in the world this event. Player movement has Protocon and Kinden moving up to the bronze team. Sorsha and DSCM moving to GOT5.
El Cinco de Theros!
2 gods with a perfect score, 2 demigods at 95%, a performance rating of 86. Top performers, Del Nardo and Nimish Krom at 90, and Reinhardt at 88. The Cinco placed 24th in the world this event. Player movement has Del Nardo and Reinhardt moving up to GOT4. Magan Raven is moving to GOT6. Black Dragon returns to the skies to scan the landscape and see where he is needed next.
The Hexagods of Theros!
1 demigod at 95%, a performance rating of 44. Top performers, Maxineer at 94, Penn at 79, and Phoenix at 78. The Hexagods placed 66th in the world this event. Player movement has Penn and Phoenix moving up to GOT5. Reichel and Appa 66 are getting yeeted for inactivity. We hope to see them return as soon as they are ready to play.
The Grogs of Pharaoh.
Two gods with perfect scores. One demigod at 95%. A performance rating of 60. Top performers are Last Exit at 100. Anuaroth at 90 and Marino at 89. The Grogs of Theros placed 42nd in the world, once again returning to the top 50. Player movement has TEB and Finbog moving up to the Hexagods in 6. If you want to join the Gods of Theros, just use the search feature in the game for coalitions and type in Gods of the, and the list will populate with our coalitions. If you see space in Gods of Theros 6 or Gods of Theros 7, jump right in, say something about Grog, we'll all laugh, it'll be fun, whatever. Remember our two rules as members of Gods of Theros: play in the weekend coalition event and don't be a dick. Once you are a member of the Gods of Theros, you have access to the exclusive portions of our Discord server, which is a great resource for deck building and event strategy. We are always discussing card combos, planeswalkers, mechanics, and strategies for coalition events. Hey! Do you want to know what decks Derek Rogers or Mork90 or Sepulka are using to post perfect scores in the Coalition events? Or Six Iron or Couch Clown or Sangwoo Lee as they continue to mount their assault on the Throne of Perfection? Or Black Dragon, who's been doing this for years, or Star 12 or Big Bill, all of whom have been playing this game since before it was invented? How about Razuishu or Kung Fu Chuck or Den Johan? Or Dolio or Soul Twist, Quicksilver, Marino, Anuaroth, Dajiu? Even retired legends such as Poppy and Ampersand still have their decks and advice posted in the deck channels of our server. This Discord server is not new. It's been up for years collecting wisdom on these events. It's right there for you. Come grab it, Rabbit. Become a member of Gods of Theros and send a friend request on Discord to me or Derek Rogers so we can set you up. All right, this episode's mashup was performed by my favorite mashup artist, Benjamin Veltz. He's on all the big socials as Bassfire. And you know what? I noticed that Pipes walked all over that great drum break in the middle of that. So I'm going to post at the end of this podcast the full mashup for there. It's about a minute long. You'll enjoy it. Dajiu performs the arithmetic acrobats for the Gods of Theros Coalition event results and writes the summary with audacious aplomb. Pipes is allegedly named Jeffrey Smith. He's allegedly been doing this for decades. You've probably heard his voice in radio and TV ads. You can find him on Fiverr. Additional writing for this episode by Dajiu and Punis. This podcast is produced by Echo Blade Studios. I'm Nerd Thuggery. Be sure to subscribe, write a nice review, all that good stuff. It helps us appear higher in the search engines so that more players can find us and become part of this great meta community we've built up around this amazing game. Be sure to check out Gozmaster, Main Loop, and Nalthazar, and Planeswalker Coach on YouTube. Their analysis really helps with things like deck building and chase cards, especially when exploring a new set like MKM. And they're also pretty entertaining. Good luck this weekend with Rise of Adventure. Say it with me, Pipes.
So long, nerds!
Yeah, so long, nerds.
Oh, geez, turn his mic off. Webcore, thank you for Julie Forum Emissary. Thank you.